As we were talking about the righteousness that we are made in from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, starting off here, Genesis, as Larry just read there, is that Abraham, when God told him how his descendants would look like, it said Abraham believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, first off, that Greek word, or the Hebrew word, for believe, actually the word is amen, and it means to confirm or to support. Okay, so if you were to figure or think for a second here, like when someone says amen, which is the Greek, if you look into the Greek, which this Hebrew word is where the Greek equivalent, if you look like Revelation, the very last verse of the Bible, Revelation 22:21, the last word is amen. Okay, and what that is meaning is that is like agreement and support. When someone says amen at the end of a prayer, what they're saying is that I agree with the prayer. I believe what has been said, and I support what has been said. So when Abraham, when it talks about Abraham here, this word believe, he believed God, and it was reckoned him as righteousness. He was basically amen. He was confirming or supporting. It wasn't just this whim of belief that he had. Well, I guess I think you're right. No, he was supporting. He was confirming. He was convinced that God was going to go through with what he promised. So he was convinced, and that was reckoned to him as righteousness. Of what the
Genesis passage?
Genesis 15, verse 6. And so that word for believe, when it says he believed that God, the Lord, that word believe means, it means amen, is how you pronounce it. Abraham believed God and was reckoning him as righteousness. It's not just some on the whim type of belief. It's not just some shallow belief. It's something that he could confirm and support. That word is used there. That type of thinking is what should be applied there then, is that he was convinced that God would follow through on the promise. So let's turn ahead to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 1. 1 through 3 of Romans chapter 4, please.
And when, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? Abraham justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness.
Okay. So Abraham here, or Paul here, is talking about Abraham, where if he was justified by works, and the context that he's talking about is the works of the law, keeping the law. And we talked about this morning. We read verse 13 this morning in Lord's Supper here, but I purposely didn't read some of the other stuff because we were going to talk about some of this. Is that and if you even go back in chapter 3, the context is the law of Moses. So he's saying that if Abraham was justified by works, by the works of the law, he would have something to boast about. He'd boast, be able to boast in himself. But he wasn't. He believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, is what Paul quotes here. So Paul quotes the passage we just read in Genesis 15, verse 6, that Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Let's continue on here in verse 4 and 5.
Believes in him who justified the ungodly has faith, his faith is reckoned as righteousness.
Okay, so just as Abraham, when God promised Abraham and Abraham believed it, he was convinced in it, he confirmed and supported what God had said, yes, amen to that, basically is what you could say. He was convinced that that was going to happen. So just like that, the one who has faith in that God is that God will do what He says for us, it is reckoned to us as righteousness as well. And that's where it's different that he kind of lays out here a little bit later in other parts, is that if Abraham would have been righteous through the law, it wouldn't have been a promise, and he wouldn't have been the father of faith if it was through the law. Because through the law is that, well, you do this because this is what it's told you to do, and you just do it because that's what happens. But of faith, you're convinced, and you are convinced in the inner person, in your inner man, that God is going to accomplish that. So Abraham was convinced in his inner man that God is going to accomplish that. And we're not going to get all the way through this idea of what actually his righteousness is today, because we're going to look at a lot of the Old Testament examples next week as well. But as we're getting through this here, it is the one who has the faith that God will accomplish what He says He's going to do. That's what Abraham did. It wasn't that he wasn't even alive when the law was put into effect. So the righteousness that Abraham had was not based on the law. It was based on his faith that God would accomplish what He promised. And that's so when we're seeing this connection then, there, what is righteousness? Well, righteousness first has to start off with faith. That's how it's reckoned there as righteousness, as those who are convinced. I guess we'll skip down a few verses. Verse 9 through 11.
In Romans 4 still?
Yes, please.
Is this blessing then on the circumcised or on uncircumcised also? For we say faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be credited to them through him.
There you go. That's good enough. Okay, so what we're... kind of what I made the point before. So Abraham was reckoned, he had faith, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now that word, the word for faith that he uses in verse 9 and the word for believed in verse 3 are different words. They are related. But the idea there again is that word for faith is expectation. So it goes along with what the Old Testament word and the Hebrew word means when it says Abraham believed, he was convinced, he confirmed, it was amen to that type deal. Abraham was supported the idea what God had, or was confirmed or convinced of what God had promised. So it wasn't just this, well, I guess I'll believe what you say. It was that he was convinced that God was going to do it because he expected it. He expected it because he knew what God was faithful. And so Abraham, or us here, that faith is that expectation. That Greek word for faith here in the New Testament is it an expectation or a confidence that it's going to happen. Okay, it's not just that, well, I believe in something. And that's what a lot of people will, they believe in God, but they don't really, you know, they're not maybe convinced He can do everything or can work in their life or whatever, or help them with certain situations. They got to do it themselves in a lot of cases. But they might believe that God is, there is a God or some kind of being. That's not the type of believing or faith that we're talking about here. This is talking about being convinced of it, okay, and being convinced of it because God, partly being convinced of it is because God has been faithful. And to Abraham, the reason he was convinced of that was because God was faithful to him before and somehow. And maybe we don't have everything recorded of how God dealt with Abraham and stuff, or how he talked to Abraham, but Abraham was convinced that God was going to accomplish that. And so that wasn't given to him on the basis of him of circumcision. Now, circumcision was a sign, it was a symbol of, actually, that was even pre-law a little bit, but you had to be circumcised by the law of Moses to be under the law. And so Abraham had faith prior to his circumcision, so that he could be the father of faith to the uncircumcised. Yes, he's a father of faith to the circumcised as well, because if the circumcision and uncircumcision, physical thing like we talked this morning and Brandon talked this morning about, is that doesn't matter. Physical things, physical nations doesn't matter. Okay, so physically circumcised or physically uncircumcised doesn't matter. It's whether the faith is in the inner man or not. And so he had the faith prior to being circumcised that righteousness might be reckoned to them. And so it's those who are out without circumcision, outside of the law, on the basis of faith. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And so Paul here, he talks in verse 8, we're going to read verse 9, but he talks in verse 8 about how he counts everything but rubbish, the surpassing value of knowing Christ. And so verse 9 of Philippians chapter 3, please.
And may be found in him, not having a righteous, not having any righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith.
Okay, so again, Paul there, who prior to this, even the first few verses of Galatians 3 there, talked about how if anybody had reason to boast in the flesh, it was him. Being a Pharisee of Pharisees, circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, he was a Pharisee. He was the top tier, basically, in the Jewish religion. And he said, if anybody had anything to do with boasting in the flesh, I did. But he counted all that as rubbish because it was nothing compared to what he had in Christ. Because his faith in Christ was based on, his righteousness in Christ was based on faith, not based on the law. The law didn't produce the righteousness. So that's what he said, found in him not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but through faith in Christ. So the faith is the key point to having the righteousness. A lot of times people view the righteousness as the acts, which I'm not saying that doesn't produce. I mean, people pray, righteous people pray physically because they're righteous first. But just because someone prays physically does not mean they're righteous. Righteous people give to the poor or help the brethren or whatever. Righteous people preach the word or serve God or proclaim a message, not because those are the righteous acts, that's how they count their righteousness, but because they first had the faith that God is convinced that God is going to accomplish what he has, and because of that, it produces the righteous, it produces the actions that you see. The righteousness, the faith comes first that establishes the righteousness, and then the acts come after, the deeds, if you will. Just because someone gives money or says a prayer or helps someone out or even proclaims that Jesus is God doesn't mean they're righteous, because there's a lot of false proclaimers out there too. But anybody have any comments before we move on? Turn over to to Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Old Testament, minor prophets. Might miss it if you turn too far, turn too quick in your Old Testament. Right between Nahum and Zephaniah. Is that? Five books for the New Testament, yeah. About five pages too. Habakkuk 2. Chapter 2. Now Habakkuk here, in chapter 1, leading up to this here, he's talking about, now, hey, how long, O Lord, are you going to let the wicked run rampant, basically? But we get to chapter 2, and again, as a lot of times with prophecy or with passages, there's multifold meanings in some cases. Yes, this is initially dealing with the nation of Israel physically, but I think it also is a warning to the world as well. But we're going to read in verse 3 through 4, actually, verse 3 and 4 of Habakkuk chapter 2.
Come soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith.
Okay, so initially, I think you could apply this to Israel, the warning to Israel that God is going to destroy them. But I think he is actually looking a little bit past this here. The vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens toward the goal and will not fail. Even though it tarries, it will not delay, and it will certainly come and will not delay. But what he's talking about, it kind of reminds a little bit what Peter says in 1 Peter or 2 Peter 3, that even though people say, well, the day of the Lord hasn't come yet, we've, you know, since the beginning of creation, we've, you know, people have died, so seasons have come and seasons have gone, and the day of the Lord hasn't come yet. And Peter says, God isn't long in his coming, but he is patient, not wanting anyone to perish. And so it is going to come. So the vision is for the appointed time. It's not going to fail. It's going to come. But in verse 4, the proud one, as for the proud one, his soul is not right, but the righteous will live by faith. And so he's talking again that the righteous will live by faith, and that's actually quoted in the New Testament we'll get to here in a second. But the righteous will live by faith, knowing that God is going to bring about, can accomplish that. God is going to accomplish whatever, whether it's the, when we talk about judgment, that's, if you will, a two multi reasons to celebrate. I mean, the opposers that we have are dealt with, but we also get our reward as well. And so that's why we look forward to Judgment Day, because that is what will happen to us. And to the one who lives by faith is righteous. So he lives by faith, knowing that God is going to accomplish what he promised. Let's turn ahead to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Now again, chapters and verses were added. So when we're looking at here, we don't just stop the thought. The thought doesn't stop at a chapter all the time. Sometimes that does happen, but the thought here doesn't stop at the chapter. And so we're going to start, though, and we're going to stop at the end of the chapter to discuss some things, but the thought's not going to stop. Start in verse 36 of Hebrews 10 through 39, please. Okay, so notice a few key words that are used there that might be missed a little bit. So the writer of Hebrews talks about that they have need of endurance. Okay, so there is some things that are going to happen to the Hebrews here, to the church, some stuff they're going to have to deal with. The nation, or the physical nation of Israel, is going to be destroyed. The Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. The temple is going to be destroyed. It'd be like if America got overrun and got wiped out for us. Okay, that's kind of, you put yourself a little bit in that situation, except for us, the nation physically doesn't have anything to do necessarily religiously for us, as it did with the nation of Israel. So the punch is going to be a little bit more for them in this situation. And so the writer of Hebrews is preparing those who once were Jews, who are now Christians, for this. And he quotes Habakkuk in verse 37 and 38, which we read in Habakkuk 2, 3, and 4. You know, that in a very little while he will come and will not delay, but the righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks away, my soul has no pleasure in him. And so when he's talking there, is that, hey, the righteous one, that's what we are living by faith. And in verse 39, I guess, if we continue on there a second, we're not one of those who shrink back, but of those who are the faith, to the preserving of the soul. So the faith that we're having, we're trusting that God is going to bring us through death into life because of what he has promised. Okay, that's that faith that we're having there. And that's what the faith that we have equals righteousness. It's not because, well, I did all these deeds and stuff, and so I know I got to be up there somewhere. You know, God's in a prison. You know, that's not how it's based on. It's based on the faith that we're actually trusting that God is going to preserve the soul. Okay, so that's the key there to what is righteousness. It starts with the faith, that believing that God is going to accomplish it. Okay, yeah, even though what's going to happen, God will come and won't delay, and the wicked will be punished, but we have the faith that God is going to bring us through that, going to preserve our soul. Verse 1 of chapter 11. Someone read that, please.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
Okay, so a few interesting things here. So again, take out the chapters and the verses there, and this is this thought here that the writer of Hebrews is getting at. They have need for endurance. He quotes Habakkuk in verse 37 and 38, and he talks about how we are the ones of faith faith is the preserving of the soul, and then he clarifies faith now. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So that Greek word for assurance means support, substance, steadiness, like hence assurance. So there was a word that we looked at. When Abraham believed, he supported the idea. Okay, and this assurance is that faith is the assurance, is a support, is the conviction. Abraham believed and he was convicted, he was convinced that God would accomplish what he promised, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Faith is the assurance, it's the support, it's the conviction of the things that are hoped for. It's the assurance of things that are hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. That word for conviction actually means to prove or to test. So what he's saying there is that the faith is the support or the assurance of what is hoped for. It's the proof of the things not seen. So Abraham knew that God was going to accomplish what he was going to accomplish. And we're going to get into that more next week as we go through chapter 11. Because if you go into detail in chapter 11 of all those guys who it talks about, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Jacob, by faith Moses, and so on. And so he is going through that, and he's setting the stage here because, hey, you have need of endurance, he says. And he quotes Habakkuk, the righteous will live by faith, and he says, we are not of the destruction, we are of the faith. And then he goes and is going to clarify what faith is and give a bunch of Old Testament examples of how they had the faith. And as we're going to see, it's not through the law. It was the conviction that God was going to accomplish what he promised. They were assured, or they were convinced that God was going to accomplish that. It wasn't just this, well, I hope he kind of does. It was they were convinced that God was going to accomplish that. And so it's the proof of the things not seen. The faith is the assurance because God has been faithful prior. We have assurance, faith, and conviction, and confidence that God will be faithful in the future. And so it's the proof of the things that we don't see because we are hoping for something that we don't see. Because it doesn't take faith to hope that I have a gold pickup. Okay, it doesn't take faith. I have one. Okay? It doesn't take faith for that. Things that you see doesn't take faith. Things you don't see takes faith. And the faith is the beginning of what righteousness is. You can't be righteous without having the faith. You have to be convinced that God is going to accomplish it. Another thing I think is important there is that word for conviction is the proof. See, God doesn't expect us to believe something blindly. God doesn't expect us to believe something just because that's what it is. Okay, that's if a book or a religion tells you that, then that's anybody can do that. Anybody can write a book and say that. God lays out proof of his word for one thing, and he's proof that he has. If his word is true, then what he's done for people in his word is true. And because of that, we can be convinced that he is going to accomplish that for us if we have faith in him. And so he doesn't expect us to follow it blindly. So verse 2 of Hebrews 11, please.
For by it the men of old gained approval.
Okay. So the Greek word for gained approval actually means to bear witness or to testify. So what he's saying there is that, yeah, okay, I'm not saying that the men didn't gain approval. It's kind of like we talked last week about certain words, they're implied, like the word for born again in John 3. And actually should be, the word, again, should be translated from above. Because you're going to get the phrase, if you're born from above, obviously you're born again. But if all you translate it for again, well, you don't know actually where you're born spiritually. And that idea that we talked, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, that we are born from above, it's a spiritual birth. That's why we are citizens of heaven. That's why we have God's household. That's why our we have the righteousness came down and we are clothed with that righteousness, if you will. And so this, I'm not saying that the men didn't gain approval, but the word actually means they bared witness or testified. So because of their faith, they were testifying or they were bearing witness that God was going to accomplish it. That's what they were. That puts it a little bit back on their faith part there, that they're actually convinced that God is going to accomplish it. And yes, they did gain approval because of that, but they were convinced that God was going and they were going to accomplish that, and that's what their faith testified. Because who is going to go, like in Abraham's case, or Noah's case? Well, let's use Noah because, common story. Why build an ark if you're not convinced that God is going to accomplish what he said he's going to do? Okay, so the faith is you're testifying that what God said he's going to do is going to happen. Okay, because if he didn't think that happened, why build the ark? He was convinced in it. Okay, so we'll get to that a little more next week. But let's turn over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. So we have Paul here quoting Habakkuk again. We're going to start in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, 16 through 17, please. Okay, so Paul is using or kind of hitting an idea of that, prior throughout the book, it is not through the law, and we kind of talked about that a little bit later. And he hits in verse 2, it's the true circumcision of the heart. So he's kind of combating the idea of the law higher than the faith idea here as well. Okay, so at the beginning here, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Okay, and so I think that that in verse 17, when he says, for in it, I think he's talking about the gospel there. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. See, so if you think for a second, if you want to talk about like the faith, okay, so faith, righteousness that is based on faith versus righteousness based on works. Okay, so the question is God righteous? And the answer, I would hope everybody would say, yes, God is righteous. Okay. So, is God righteous before or after he saves us? Was God righteous before he saved us, or was God not righteous until after he saved us? Before he saved us, right? So, the work that he did the work that he did was based on because he was righteous. The work that he did didn't make him righteous. Does that make sense? Because he was righteous before he did the work. And so when we're talking about what righteousness is, righteousness is not based on if I've said my prayers today and paid my tithes today. Righteousness is based on faith prior to that, and that work is going to come from that faith, okay, and that from the righteousness. The righteousness is not the act that someone does physically. It comes before the act, just like God. It was God's act of saving us. His righteousness was he was righteous before he saved us, and he's righteous after he saved us. He wasn't wicked, and then he saved us and then became righteous. Okay, so that's the same. If we're looking at how that's complying or comparing to us, then we're not righteous because, well, now I did my work, now I'm righteous. We're righteous prior because we had the faith first, and then we're righteous, and then the work comes. Okay? That kind of makes sense. Go ahead, Ken.
Well,
righteous is a state of being.
Right.
But righteousness is an act. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You're righteous before, but you're also righteous afterwards because that's a state of being.
Right.
The action makes you righteous.
Right. And the action is brought out. So Abraham, he believed that God, when in the case of that God would make him a multitude of nations. Well, he wasn't righteous after he was righteous before the multitude of nations came, right? He wasn't even alive before the multitude of nations came. He was dead before that happened. And so he was righteous before that, but he did what God wanted him to do because of that righteousness. You know, so it's not that the righteousness comes, or if you will say, overflows into physical actions, but it has to start somewhere else first. And so what the Pharisees would do is that they would pray on the street corner, and that was their righteousness. They weren't righteous before, but their prayer in their mind was their righteousness. And so that was their act. So the righteousness has to be prior to the act, or it's not righteousness at all. And so it's just an act. It's like someone praying who really doesn't believe in prayer. It's not a righteous act because of that. But the act is, the righteous act physically comes from somewhere first. It has to come. But yes, if we don't do physical, we can't claim we're righteous and not do physical righteous things. You know, we can't claim that either. So that's a good point, Ken. Anybody else have any comments on that? Okay, so in verse 17 then, okay, so in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Okay, so prior to that, God was always righteous, but it was in the gospel that it's revealed. Okay, and it says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Okay, so then Paul ends that verse quoting Habakkuk 2, verse 4. And so when he says there, what does it mean when he says the righteousness of God is revealed in verse 17 of Romans 1, from faith to faith? And I guess one way you could look at that is that from faith to faithfulness, I guess you could say, because that word faith can mean faith or faithfulness. So it's the righteousness of God is revealed from faith, our initial faith. We believe that God is going to accomplish that, and it's going to bring us into being faithful to him, but also recognizing that he is faithful to us. So we're convinced that God, the reason that we have faith, the reason Abraham has faith, for example, was because he was convinced that God was going to be faithful. Okay, and so the reason that we can have faith is we're convinced that God is faithful. Okay, so we are righteous, or the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, for it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And so we are having faith that he is going to do that. We are living by faith that God is going to accomplish that. And so that is where we're going to be faithful to him because of that. Turn over to Hebrews 3, and we're going to touch on this next week again. But there was a point here that I thought was kind of studying last night. Interesting of how the writer of Hebrews puts it. Hebrews 3, verse 14, and this is in the midst of him describing the lack of faith of the Israelites after they were delivered from Egypt, after they saw everything that God did, after they went through the Red Sea, and then they couldn't even trust him to provide them a little bit of water. And so when he talks here, in verse 14, he kind of inserts this little idea in here. If someone wants to read Hebrews 3, verse 14, please.
For if we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end.
Okay, so notice what he says there. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the faith, fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. So the faith that someone had when they became a Christian is the same thing that someone has to have and hold fast until the end. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean that someone doesn't grow. That's not what it's saying here. It's saying that because when we're convinced that God is going to forgive our sins, and we're convinced that he's going to give us the Holy Spirit, Okay, that same idea where we believe and trust that God is going to do that, we have to believe and trust that God is going to do that till the end. God is going to bring us, and kind of back what the writer of Hebrews says later on in chapter 10, that we are not of those who shrink back, but of those who are the faith in the preserving of the soul. We believe that God saved our soul. We have the faith that God saved us and forgave our sins and gave us his Spirit to live within us. And we are also holding fast that faith until the end that God is going to bring us through death into life. So that's that faith that we have to have. It's not that, I hope I have all these righteous deeds all stored up so when God comes back, then I'm going to make it to the other side. No, it's the faith that God is going to accomplish that is the righteousness. It's not the deeds that we have built up and stored up that's how it's going to get us to the other side. It's the faith that God will accomplish that. And so faith is where, and he kind of throws it in there, in the midst of describing how the Israelites didn't have the faith that God could even provide them a little bit of water. They just watched him do 10 plagues to the Egyptians and destroy Egypt and plunder Egypt, and they left Egypt with everything. They walked through the Red Sea and God destroyed the army in Egypt, and now they can't even believe that he's going to give them a little bit of water. And their unbelief, and they weren't convinced all the way to the end. And that's what he is talking about there. The faith that we have, if we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance until the end. That assurance that we had when we believed that God forgave our sins when we were immersed and he gave us the Holy Spirit, that assurance that we're holding fast until the end. That same idea. It doesn't mean that someone doesn't grow. That's not what he's saying there. He's saying that we are entrusted and we are convinced that God is going to accomplish it. We support, it's like, amen, like Abraham believed, amen. Abraham said amen, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He supported, he believed, he was convinced that God was going to accomplish that. And we too, we are agreement, we are convinced that God will accomplish that until the end, and that will bring us through. It's our faith, not the deeds that happens. That's, anybody have any comments on that? Yes, Ken. Yeah. Right, yeah. And that's something, you know, that it's something that we're convinced of because we trust God. Yeah, it's like you say, a handshake deal. It's not something that's, well, God, I have my name up here on the church registry and I did this and you have this kind of, God's not obligated like based on that, but it's on like a handshake deal, like you say. Yeah.
Yeah, faith on the work and hope.
Right. Anybody else have any other comments?
I think, you know, the guy needs to consider that Romans chapter 9 or Romans chapter 10, I guess, it's 9:10, isn't it? I thought where it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
It's 10:17.
10:17, yeah. So, so we got to understand that,
right,
that faith is something that comes from Scripture. It's something that comes,
right.
It isn't, you know, a lot of times the word faith is really kind of a shallow word for us, you know, mm-hmm. something that just kind of comes there, you know, but it takes work, you know. I mean,
right.
And faith comes from reading the Scriptures and planting them into our minds like the Israelites put it on top of their heads and on their doorpost and wherever it was at, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was maybe a symbolic phrase, but that's what happened. You know, so.
Yeah. So, they might have took it too literal and worked at that, but they did take it. It was supposed to be, that's what he meant, is symbolically, like as in you make
put
sure
it,
you
put in your head,
understanding it. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think that's important. It can't be something that goes against Scriptures. It has to be something that Scriptures build in your mind. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you think of like, so Abraham believed God. What did he believe? The word of God.
Yeah.
And so the faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. And so that's how the faith has to be built. That's the first start there. He doesn't expect us just to follow something blindly. Anybody else have any comments? We'll pick up about faith next week then.